John, press the little orange button. That's it. You can hear me. Good. They say, Mother, can you hear me?
Aye.
Right. What I want you to do is I want these passed around this side, Mike. Ron, that's for you. This is for something later to remind you and to look at the scriptures. Take one and would you mind, Linda? Because what we've been talking about this morning fits in with what I want to speak about, and what's been happening two or three weeks ago is all tied up with this. And these sheets are for you to look at later, and you can amplify them. You can find out about them, where they are in the Old Testament and where it's in the New Testament, and build on it. And when I find Hebrews, here we are. This is Hebrews chapter 2. I'm just going to read four verses from it because my text is in one of the verses. And Hebrews is on page 1211. 1211, chapter 2. It's 1202, is it? Well, I want to read from verse 1. Probably I've got a different Bible. O-1, is it? O-1? Oh, yeah, O-1. See, I'm getting old. I'm losing it. Right. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? The salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. The text I want, look, and it's all going to be based around this, is in verse 3. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. The salvation was first announced by the Lord. For us to start considering, what did Jesus teach and preach? Hebrews 2:3 gives us that point. Christ pointed to himself and revealed himself. He went about preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. And it's mentioned about 17 times in the four Gospels. And here's a couple of illustrations of it. We all know the stories. The Samaritan woman in John 4, when Jesus goes to the well, absolutely tired out and shattered from walking. And this woman, she's got to be a prostitute because she comes at midday. She comes to collect water, and Jesus asks her, give me a drink. And we know the conversation. And part of it, she says, well, I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said, I that speak unto you am he. She knew that the Christ of God was to come. And Jesus said, I'm telling you, I am he. Because he told her everything that she had done, including her last partner wasn't her husband. Or even greater than this, there was a man who was born blind in John chapter 9. And Jesus had healed him. A man born blind. You don't know any colour. You don't know the faces of people. You can't see whether we're young or whether we're old or whether we're crotchety or whatever it is. He was born blind. And Jesus healed him. And they, in the end, the Jewish leaders and the Sanhedrin kicked him out of the synagogue, out of the church there. And Jesus heard that they'd cast him out. And when he found him, Jesus said to him, do you believe on the Son of God? And this blind man, who now sees, said, well, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said, you have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And it struck me when I was thinking about this. The blind man heard Jesus say, be healed. And this man could suddenly see everything. Says, well, who is the Son of God? He's done this for me. And Jesus says, you see him and you hear me speaking. And he tied the two together. Jesus spoke about himself and about the salvation. It doesn't say what Jesus said, but we get an inkling from it. In what did the early church do? When you look at the book of Acts, you see the apostles there, and the book is really their testimony and a history of the spread of the word. Now, when you look at the book of Acts, you see this phrase, the word of God or the word of the Lord. And there are times in there where Paul, when he speaks to the Philippian jailer, you know the story of it, and he spake to the Philippian jailer the word of the Lord. And again, in Berea, it says that the word of God was preached of Paul, the word of God. And he... going on there, Paul continued a year and 6 months. This was in Corinth. And he was teaching the word of God. And so mightily grew the word of God. All right, now you're going to say, Michael, what are you talking about? What's this word of God? So what did the apostles teach and preach? It certainly wasn't the Old Testament, although it's quoted a lot. You've only got to look at the Gospel of Matthew to see a load of Old Testament quotes. And it certainly wasn't the New Testament, because it wasn't written then. But simply, it was the Gospel, the Good News. And I prefer, instead of saying the Gospel, I prefer saying the Good News. It was the continuation of what Jesus himself preached, which was himself. Jesus went about talking about himself, about what he would do and what he was going to accomplish. That's what Hebrews is saying. What the Lord started, the apostles continued, and the writer of the Hebrews is saying it's going on. And the good news is Christ. And the facts that we need to talk about and to teach are basically five basic facts. And you can use your sheets later to look at where these are mentioned in the Old Testament and the New Testament to build it up. Talked about his incarnation, his coming, his being born of Mary, taking on the form of man. And again, you're going to go on and think of his atoning death, him dying. Old Testament, New Testament. His physical resurrection. His ascension. And I'm glad you like your carol, Barbara. He's coming again. How often do we hear all this talked about and spoken about to people? We just possibly talk about his atoning death. But Jesus spoke all about his coming. His atoning death and the physical resurrection. His ascension. He was raised from the dead and he went back to sit at the right hand of the Father. He's coming again. Hallelujah. We need to bring this in. He's coming again. And these five points, these five major points, there are two other main teaching points that are associated with this that we do not speak about, and we ought to. The first point has two parts to it, a twofold response. And it's a twofold response to believing the good news which is required by God the Father. It is required. First is repentance towards God himself, the Father, and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And the book of Acts tells us this very simply in chapter 20, verse 21. And Paul says this, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is turning to God from sin. We need to stress this. Is turning, we think we know it, but is repentance, is confessing the sins that we have done, that God has brought to our attention. And not only that, it is remembering things. You can say, I've done this wrong, and ask for forgiveness. But you go back and you think of your life before you knew Christ, or even when you know him, your memory is bringing pictures back to you of what you've done wrong or the situations you've been in that is wrong. You need to confess that and you need to give that memory to the Lord and ask him to cleanse it and to use it as an instrument of righteousness. It needs to be cleansed. We need to turn to God. And faith is the act of the will in accepting Jesus Christ's death as the ground of acceptance with God. It is a realization of what Christ has done and believing it because it's a reality. You know it. So, repentance towards God, living faith in Christ, and he is the only one who can bring us back to God. Nothing else, only his blood. It's only a few weeks ago when we were having communion, And it was talking about the body of Christ and the bread. It suddenly struck me that the bread is life. You have bread to live. Christ's body, although bore sin, gives us life. The wine represents his blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We can't have remission of sin without that blood and believing that that blood deals with our sins. That's the first point. The second point is the resultant action of the Father to our response of saying, yes, I believe, I know it, I confess my sins. I want to be your child. Come into my life. There is the response by the Father when he tells us, or when the preachers tell us in Acts 2, verse 38, and I'll read it. Peter, when he was talking to the people on that day of Pentecost, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." When you look at the notes, you'll find it says 228. I'm clumsy at typing. It should be 38. It should be verse 38. Remission of sins and forgiveness. When you say yes to the Father, he takes away our sins and we have forgiveness with him. And then another thing he gives us is a new heart. Doesn't he talk in the Old Testament about a new heart being given to Israel? I'll take away the heart of stone, I'll give you a heart of flesh. He gives us a new heart, a heart for him, away from the things of the world that we need him. And as you're saying, Phyllis, the Lord brings people to help you who know you not, who bless you. When we have him, we have something. And also, he promises us the Holy Spirit, as we had seen here in that verse I've just read there, that repent and in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of his sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will have called. Have you been called by God to be his child and you've responded? Then he's given you the Holy Spirit, and you should know the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's there. That's what he does when you accept him. And finally, he gives you spiritual blessing. To know spiritual blessing from the Father. That's his promise. We're his children. Looking around you here today, I'm going to say majority. Yes, because we're the majority here. Are grandparents. Or we have older children. But do you give good gifts to your children? Have you given good gifts to your grandchildren this Christmas? I've got a great Father in heaven. I'm his child. And he's promised to give me spiritual blessings. Do you know there are 35 proclamations about the word in the book of Acts? You read the book of Acts and you see the number of times it's talking about Christ and who he is and what he is. Peter, on that soon after Pentecost, you remember he went to the gate to the temple and there was that beggar man there, and he said, you know, I've got no gold, I've got no silver, but look unto me, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he ran and he walked and leaping and praising God. And then Peter was talking and saying, you know, we haven't done this. It's the Lord's work. And why do you stare at us if by our own power and our goodness we made this man walk? And he's saying that, well, it's Jesus that has done it. This one that God has raised up. And God has glorified his servant Jesus. But he turns around and says, you handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the righteous and holy one and asked for a murderer to be lifted unto you. Denied the holy one and the just one, the Son of God, deity. And verse 15 goes on and it says, you killed the author of life. The AV's got the Prince of Life. There is the death of Christ preached. But God, in verse 15 again, says, raised him from the dead. There is the resurrection of Christ. And in verse 18, it talks about, it was shown, all this was shown by the prophets, that Christ should suffer and die. And one of the most important things is verse 19, where Peter says, repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Repent, be converted, sins blotted out, spiritual blessing to come from the Lord. This is what we're to proclaim. And right at the end of his speech, he says, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes when God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. The resurrection of Christ and the second coming of Christ is mentioned. And these sort of things are mentioned throughout the book of Acts. And very poignantly, right at the end of verse 23 of chapter 3, he says, anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among the people. Why? Because Peter says, Moses said that the Lord your God will raise up for you a people like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. A prophet like me. And Moses was in the very presence of the living God on Sinai. And he was the prophet. He came down and he gave God's word. And he's saying, there is going to be a prophet like me. Someone from the presence of God is going to bring the word of God to you. Listen to him. Because anyone who doesn't listen to him will be completely cut off from among the people. If we don't accept Christ and accept the word of God, then there is no hope for us. We will not be with the Lord when he comes. We need to turn to God. This is what we need to do and think about. Take these sheets away and study them. Think about them. How does the Old Testament appear? How does the New Testament appear in this? We need to tell people. And the Lord has been talking about Jesus, his death, his coming. We just celebrated it. He's coming again. Three times, four times. Really stressed. That's what it's appeared to me over these past weeks. What's he saying to each one of us? Will we go away and think about this? Of preaching Jesus, of what he's done, of his resurrection, his ascension, his coming again. that the Father forgives our sins. We can have a new heart. We can have the Holy Spirit. We can have spiritual blessing from Him. That is for us. So I'll leave it there to you think about. So let's just close in prayer on this little section.